Okay, just a word about this letter to Philemon. It was probably the shortest document. The first letter of John is pretty short too, but I think this is the shortest one in the whole New Testament, probably the whole Bible. And it is a bread and butter note. So Paul was in jail, and a slave named Onesimus had escaped from his master and joined Paul. And while Paul and Onesimus were together, Paul came to baptize Onesimus. So what he wants to do is send him back to Philemon, not as a slave, but as a brother. And he does this in the most delicate, elegant way, saying, I didn't want to do this without your consent. So, and he, it's also interesting to notice that he calls, if you consider me your partner, that's an interesting word. Paul was a big poobah in the church, but he was the partner of this guy. He was not some, you know, guy with a pointed hat running around with a crozier and banging people on the head. He saw him as a partner. So lots of stuff has changed over time. But the main issue here is this terribly problematic reading from Luke. I remember as a kid reading this and being terrified. And then as I grew up a little and my terror threshold lowered, I found out that, well, what Luke is doing here is imitating a typical Semitic mode of speech, which is hyperbole. You know, you hate your father, your mother, your wife, your kids, blah, 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 blah. But what he's getting at is only clear in the last two lines. And all this stuff about building a tower and going to war is, I think you can only conclude that in the first and the last few lines by main force. So tighten your seatbelt. I will try to do that. So what is central to Luke, as it was for Paul, and well, for the whole New Testament, is the cross of Jesus. It's no accident that has become the emblematic symbol of Christianity, the cross. And the cross with a body on it, Pache, or Protestant brothers and sisters who remove the corpus more often than not. But then we're faced with this terrible problem. What is the cross? The church has handled this historically, I think, very badly. The cross has been trivialized to meaning, oh, my dog got pox, or, you know, my kid got hit by a car, or I got pancreatic cancer, or I got a bad case of dandruff or psoriasis. All those are my crosses. And you carry your cross. That's rubbish. That's infantile. And on the other hand, we have the great motto when I was in the seminary, if it feels bad, it must be good for you. So you do stuff like take the only afternoon you got free and pick the most obnoxious person that you thought obnoxious in your class, and then walk around the lake, which is an hour and a half of agony, trying to make conversation with it. It was one of the few times we could talk, of course, too. That's also stupid. So where do we locate the cross? I think it must begin with ourselves. The cross is I who am at war with my own mediocrity, my own tendency to trivialize, my half-heartedness in the following of Jesus. And I should suffer from that. And that would be the real cross, the cross. However, I've been fretting over this all week. I don't do that, at least not at any great depth. So we have to push it back a stage further. Why don't you agonize over all that stuff? Your half-heartedness, etc., etc., etc. Well, maybe I should agonize over the fact that I don't agonize over that. And that would be the cross truth. And I'm not trying to play some facile, logical trick on you. Because basically, the cross represents for us what jihad represents for our Muslim sisters and brothers. Jihad is not tying dynamite around your chest and going blowing up as many people as you can catch. In Islam, jihad is this battle against the self. It is a battle, is an interior battle against my egomaniacal life. And that battle is truly cruciform. And beyond that, of course, there are all kinds of other things. What about all those kids who commit suicide on reservations? What about all those kids who are dragged from the reserves into some house where they're forbidden to speak their own language, wear their own clothes, use their own religion? That's evil. And we are very slow in this country coming to acknowledge that self and to make some sort of reparation for it. But it's not just our country and our indifference to the people in jail. I really worry. If I had another life to live over, I think I'd spend it in jail reform. The prison system stinks. And I know it pretty well. People are considered subhuman. As soon as the bars clank shut behind them, they're obviously outside the human pale. They're not real human beings. They're subhumans. They're savages. Well, folks, that's not true. But we get, I think, great consolation to know I'm on the outside of the jail and they're on the inside of jail, which means I'm good and they're bad, which is rubbish. Rubbish. Total rubbish. But then you go on and to look at the world as bruised, battered thing where people are killed daily, drowning in the Mediterranean. Little kids. If you remember that little boy, 5 years old, sitting there with blood and ashes or smudge all over his face. I think everybody in his family was drowned except his father, who then took the rest of the family back to Syria to have them buried there. And that poor little kid is reintroduced into that squalid, tempestuous environment where nobody is safe. It takes a very great stretch of the imagination, I think, to keep those guys in mind. Far easier temptation to say, I'm all right, Jack, and the devil take the hindmost. The cross, part of the demolition of the egocentricity that constitutes much of my consciousness, surely, if you break that down and open my heart to all this other misery. Paul put it very simply, bear each other's burdens, and thus you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ being the following of the cross. So I hope this is helpful. It's been helpful to me this week to think about this stuff. And to try to reform, more energetically try to reform my life, my half-heartedness, my mediocrity, my shallow attempts. And that may be the key thing. I live on the surface of my life rather from the depths of my life. And unfortunately, when I look at most of our society, I think that's kind of a general condition. So the cross is also a matter of taking the plunge to find out where I really live, what I really value, and how ardently do I seek
the will of God.